Hey everybody, it's Frank, and I wanted to thank you all for downloading, subscribing, and listening to Comic Playground. But after today, Comic Playground will no longer be available here. A new version of the show will take over specific Caliendo cast episodes and will be called Nerding Out. So go to frankpods.com or caliendocast.com and subscribe to the Caliendo cast. All the shows noted as Nerding Out will start out with a Caliendo cast crew, me, John Holmberg, and Scott Long. The new Nerding Out theme will play, which is created by Greg O'Connor, a friend of mine over at Mad TV, and you will not believe how cool it is. Very CW-ish. Then we'll shift content to members of the Comic Playground crew. And yes, that includes Donnie. You know who I'm talking about.
Donnie, you are you who you are.
The whole show's still developing, but our goal is to really step it up and give you the best shows possible. Anyway, thanks for listening. Enjoy this episode, and then go see us over there. And because I'm so long-winded, frankpods.com, subscribe to the Caliendo cast. And this has been Frank, and I'm nerding out.
The Caliendo cast with Frank Caliendo, John Holmberg, Scott Long, and the rest of the Caliendo crew. Informing you, entertaining you, changing your life forever.
It's the most important podcast in the history of Western civilization.
It's good enough.
It's recording.
Yeah, I'm not. I would. A lot of the things I got in this room that, if you ever see the podcast on video, like on Instagram or on Facebook or something like that, the promos, because we're not putting it all on YouTube yet, I strategically, a lot of the figures and stuff I get, and I'm very careful not to get the wrong one so you don't come in and make fun of me.
I would make fun of Scrappy Doo. I appreciate that. That is my influence.
The shark Scrappy jumping Doo. Of a.
Oh,
tiny
the end.
Dog.
The end of the entire
The cousin
run.
Oliver of the Hanna-Barbera universe.
The Leonardo DiCaprio of Growing Pains.
Oh, show me that smile.
Yeah,
again.
Yeah. Show me that smile. Don't waste another minute.
Another minute on your crying.
We're nowhere near the end.
Oh, the no, best is ready to be.
The best
Sorry.
Ready to begin. As long as we got. We're going to just do TV theme songs the entire
Let's run. Do it.
I'm in. The challenge is there.
I remember when I would do John Madden singing Different Strokes.
Now the world don't move to the beat of just one drum. What might be right for you may not be right for some. A man is born.
Brutal. Yep. I don't know why it's fun to me.
All right. So here's the thing that just happened to me today. Did you download the new iPhone?
13, whatever it is.
Yeah. X.
It's a nightmare.
Z.
Yeah. I don't know what it's doing.
Named after the... President of China.
Is that what's
yeah. It's Apple G. I love it. Tremendous stuff. It keeps things. Anybody else upload this at all? Of course Adonis did. But it's all these new things keep popping up, and I don't know what they do, but they're kind of telling me what they do. Would you like to see how to send messages now? Why can't I send messages the way I used to send?
What was wrong with the old way, I ask? Siri.
It's scary. I'm just lost. Much like
it messes
lost
you up.
In this
yeah,
podcast.
No, it,
right
it's,
now.
I don't like any of it right now, but I'm getting used to it. I do like all the bold print because my eyes have gone to garbage. So that's helped me out.
Yeah. And like I went into the notes for the show. Haven't looked at them yet, but I went into the notes for the show and like something got bold printed for the last
It
one.
Headlines stuff and then gives you all the.
And it decides what mm-hmm. the headlines
it,
are?
It, fake news.
What?
Here's what you thought was important, and I mean it. And you thought this was important.
And here's what really is important.
Okay, not so important. Not going to boldface that. Not very good.
It's just, whatever.
Did you see Trump's troll of Elizabeth Warren?
Which one?
Happy Indigenous Peoples Day, Pocahontas.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did. It was on a Trump tweet, and I just couldn't stop laughing.
It's on the official campaign Twitter.
Yeah,
Okay.
And it's a picture of Elizabeth Warren. Yeah. His campaign Twitter has its own thing that he clearly says,
get that up there. That's classic.
I have nothing and everything to do with that.
Happy Indigenous Peoples Day, comma, Pocahontas, picture of Warren and out.
P.S. It's not me sending this.
And then drop Mike emoji. Do it.
Drop Batman emoji from the previous show.
I don't know. I got to get out of it.
What's the matter?
No, because it's just, it's insane to me, the stuff. I just.
Oh, you're going to go political. I see.
Yeah, I'm trying to stay out of
it. I wouldn't do it.
No.
I would avoid it, too.
That's what I've been doing
for the last few years.
Nothing to do with politics, just running the perfect country the way it's got to be done. And I'm doing a tremendous job.
I'm 137,000th Native American, so I had a great Indigenous Peoples Day. I was Indigenous all day long.
You can't help it when it's that fun, though.
I mean, he steps into it.
Yeah.
So I want people to know we started out doing this, and we're revamping a little bit, working on the nerding out version of the show, and we'll get into that. We'll bring the rest of the crew in here, and we added a lot of steaks to what we're going to be doing. Not no
barbecue.
No, not at all.
There's higher stakes.
Yes.
People will win. People are leaving with prizes today.
No prizes.
Oh, so there's no stakes.
Just tariffs.
Oh, I see.
So one thing I want to talk about, though, first was Joker. Because you had people were sending me a lot of messages that they didn't like your take on the Joker. Yeah. Can you revamp on that a little bit?
Well, my take on the Joker is it's a brilliant movie. It's great. It's well acted. It's well put together. It's absolutely amazing. I think it's
done,
but no. I think it's also kind of a. It's the danger is not in its gore or violence, which I think is limited or little, if any, compared to most movies. It's the danger of somebody with a loose screw, kind of watching that, saying, "Hey, I feel that way a little bit. A mental health problem that I have is nobody's paying attention to me." And the movie kind of leads you to go, hey, the only way to get out of this is to be an anti.
Well, you called it the Rocky for the insane.
It's Rocky for the mentally unstable. And I really do. I think it's kind of a rah-rah for people who are like, nobody's ever heard from me. Here's a take I took this week with a friend of mine who loved it and did kind of question the way I saw it. Because I looked at it, I'm like, I didn't leave that theater feeling great about the Diet Coke and Red Vines I was eating. I want to sit and be entertained in a theater. I don't want to sit back and think to myself, well, I'm miserable. But the old Joker, Nicholson, Heath Ledger, Jared Leto, we won't count. They all had this kind of thing that I suspended disbelief to say, I understand his past must have been insane. Give me a taste of the origin and then why he's his way. I don't need to dive so deep that while I'm watching the movie, I'm like, wow. America doesn't do enough about mental health. I need to vote differently. It seemed ham-handed to me that the side message was, oh, mental health in this country is a mess, and it's going to lead to this nonsense. And it's kind of that, it almost had that strange side feeling of, this is why we've got so many mass shootings. This is why we've got so many problems. And it was like, I like the Joker to be funny.
Yeah, but
I like him to be insane.
Right,
I'll give you
that. You wanted entertaining, and it wasn't really, and the Joker was non-entertaining.
Taxi driver with clown makeup. I tell you what.
Reminded me of something. Huh? Were you doing Gruden there? Is that what you were doing?
Started as Gruden. Now I can't stop.
Forgot who you were.
Forgot who it was.
All right, hold on.
I don't know.
I can fix that for you.
Boom.
Done.
Out.
Gone.
Yeah. So I just didn't. I thought Taxi Driver was also the type of movie. It's like, wow, that's really well acted. Why did I watch that? What's the point of this? And Joker was the same way.
Yeah, but it's a character study. That's the whole point of it. Like, but.
It's too real.
I know what you're saying, but what's wrong with too real? That's what drew me in. I don't
Joker.
Right, but it didn't have to be the Joker. That's the whole point is it was just if you take the Joker out of it,
right.
It's a really sad story.
It's Taxi Driver.
It's Taxi Driver.
That's what you're telling me.
Is that what you want?
You're telling me.
Is that what you want?
You're telling me? I don't know. You talk to me about Taxi Driver.
I don't know. I don't have a reason why I kind of walked away going, ugh.
So who's your favorite Joker?
I think Nicholson just because he was insane,
well, how old
but I want to have a beer with him.
But how?
It's true.
Wait till they get a load of me. He was tip this one back, Johnny. Where does he get these wonderful toys?
That guy like, wanted
and
to
and
play.
It's a beer hat?
Yeah.
Where does he get these wonderful toys?
You'd see him at Buffalo Wild Wings. You'd be like, ooh, I hope everything's all right. And then he's like, hey, everybody, I brought bubbles.
And you get toys and things. He's like, oh, we're cool with the Joker. He was fun. And you kind of were like, I know he's insane. I'll give you that. But it's still a wink and a nod to crazy. This wasn't. I don't want to see Joaquin Phoenix's Joker battle Batman. I want him to get help. And that's
But
the
that's
opposite.
The point. That, but see, no. That's what I really enjoyed about it. I shouldn't say enjoyed. It's not enjoyed because then I'm making your point and everybody's going to run for cover.
Right.
It's. I like when things are so real that it was a. It's not a superhero movie, but like a supervillain movie that seemed like it could happen. And that was the.
It has happened. That's
right,
the problem.
But that's the interesting thing to me. And I don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
But it's.
I use this example. I went to a Rammstein concert, a German metal band, and they're very, very extravagant. Their stage presence is unreal. A lot of pyrotechnics you've never seen before. It's very original. They always push the envelope with making the crowd feel a little bit weird. Well, I was in Vegas at the T-Mobile Arena. The show is amazing. They only come to America every 10 years or so. They're killing it. Everybody loves it. But you all have everybody in a crowded room, stadium, concert hall feels that this could all go wrong feeling. This could all go goofy soon. And Till comes out, the lead singer, in a suicide vest.
Yeah. That's.
And the whole crowd audibly exhaled like, oh, yeah, we're all sitting ducks. That's kind of how Joker made me feel. It's like, I get it. I don't go to movies to remind me
right,
everything
but if
sucked.
If the ushers show up in suicide vests, then I'm scared. If it's in the movie, it's
oh, in the I'm not afraid. I'm just like, for an entertainment sake, I don't need to be reminded of the reality of the world. I'm sucking on Diet Coke and I'm chugging Red Vines like I've never eaten.
Can you watch a comedy? I can't even watch a comedy because I feel like I'm at work. Like I'm always dissecting it.
Yeah. I don't laugh like I used to. I always go, "Ooh, that was funny."
Right.
I don't have laughs.
A great joke to me is something I go, oh, that's good.
Yeah. It impresses me.
Something awkward is what makes me laugh.
Yeah.
I've been laughing a lot this podcast.
But I still laugh at stuff. I enjoy things. But comedy, like when it's trying to be funny, I'm like, good one. That landed. Or I'm like, not so funny.
Right.
I don't really have laughs.
That's why monologues are so difficult.
Terribly.
Because this is the funny part. That's me on the NFL and Fox is, here's the funny part. Let's go, Frank.
Yep.
That's the difficult thing with that.
Right. Here's the clown. You're supposed to laugh. And you're like, well, let's see if he's got anything. And especially in this world where everything's kind of like, what do you got? Everybody wants to tear things down before they even know what it is. I'm not bashing the Joker. I just don't.
No, I get it. I totally get it.
See it again.
To me, it's the acting.
Amazing.
That just drew me in. And it's because I'm such trying to become. It's, and I enjoy it, and being a student of acting, that's what I loved about it. Because at any point during that movie, I'm going, anybody else does this, it's failing miserably.
Yeah.
Because he's always on the verge of being terrible. He's one little look to a camera, one non-truthful moment from it being awful.
Yeah.
And he never, and I know they get to cut and stuff like that, but it's just so hot. All those moments could be just awful by an average or even really good actor. I was amazed. And when I see Joaquin Phoenix on talk shows and stuff like that, and he's in these weird moments like Jimmy Kimmel or whomever will have him in one of these moments that it's like, oh, geez, I can't believe this is happening. It just feels so staged.
Right.
And then to see it in the movie of how good he actually is.
Yeah.
That juxtaposition and
the acting is amazing. There's nothing about that movie that, and that's what I'm saying. It got so real. It almost needed a little flavor of just a reminder.
Yeah, Robert De Niro. Robert De Niro seemed hokey.
He did.
He's like, hey, we're going to do a little, little
right down to the Carson curtain and just the absolute hokiness of it. But
it
felt over the top the fun way. Not once.
But I think it was supposed to be real. I mean, that's the whole point. Is it was that?
Does it
almost
go on
Boogie
being
Nights?
Real?
It, you know.
Yeah, but again, that's another one where you're like, "What did I just watch?"
Exactly. But that's the point. I mean, I think people.
Have you ever seen There Will Be Blood, the Daniel Day-Lewis movie?
It's a
masterclass in acting. Unbelievable! It is the single most depressing 2.5 hours of your life. I don't know why you would revisit it. And it's brilliantly done, but I'm like, wow, what were they thinking? And it's very real. But my life is real. I don't need to be reminded that I could walk outside.
No, but your life isn't the Joker. That's my point.
You don't know that.
I do.
You don't.
I don't.
No. I live with my mom. If that helps.
All right. We're going to bring the guys in, and we're going to nerd out.
All right. I don't know what. Should I stay? I don't know what this is.
I'll
just take some calls.
Yeah.
My name is Frank Caliendo. A year ago, my daughter Juliet broke her elbow in a freak trampoline accident. During her recovery, she became a huge superhero movie fan.
Mostly the MCU.
She wanted to know more about the characters in the movies, where they came from, and what might happen next. I realized that to be a better dad, I had to become someone else. I had to become something else. To the outside world, I'm a guy on a bunch of sports and sketch TV shows. But in this podcast, with the help of my comic book and pop culture expert friends, I'm gaining as much geek knowledge as I can and fighting crime.
There's no crime fighting.
But I wish there was.
And I am nerding out.
All right, this is the first official nerding out version of the Caliendo cast. We are joined at the table by Brian Augustin. You don't have to wave.
Wave to the TV.
You just, yeah, he saw something moving.
I waved to the president.
Oh. Oh, great. Happy Indigenous Peoples Day, Pocahontas.
You were drifting into De Niro there.
Hey, it happens. We're all the same guy.
True.
So, for people who don't know, including you, John, Brian is a comic book creator. I should also introduce, we've got Danny Donnie.
Well, my favorite Osmond.
For a while, we were calling him the wrong name, and he didn't want to speak up. Whatever.
What were you calling him?
I just like being Mike.
Oh, it wasn't even close.
No, not even. No.
Not even near Danny.
He's a huge fan. It was so funny to watch him fanboy out on you earlier.
For you.
Yeah. also joined by Zach and Adonis. Everybody's going to be contributing to a lot of different stuff here. But we're starting with Brian, who's a creator, a comic book creator. Tell people a little bit about what you've done. Gotham by Gaslight. I had trouble getting that out.
Wow. Well,
hey, sometimes they get stuck.
Same guy.
Yeah. Huh?
So well, what is this Gothic by Gaslight?
Gotham.
Oh, I didn't understand what you said.
You'll figure it out.
Of course I will.
It's amazing that you figured out that much.
Yeah, I'm very close to losing it all.
That's right. I got into comics about 35 years ago, so I've been really, I should have gotten a real job by now. But been an editor at DC Comics for about 10 years, and I've written comics for everybody since then. Big hits, I guess, at the very least, the high points. Gotham by Gaslight, a Batman graphic novel. That was...
Which is a Victorian era, yeah. A Batman, Jack the Ripper type
right,
of time.
Exactly that type.
It was made
into an animated movie just last
Just year. Recently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
So, Brian, I want to get a little bit of your take on the Joker. You have never actually written a Joker.
I've avoided it. I am not a big fan of the character.
And why is that?
Well, for a lot of reasons. One, consider that my great age means that I was exposed to a much happier Joker. That when you say, who's your favorite Joker? I'm going to say Cesar Romero.
I agree that from a fun standpoint, he's by far the best.
However, that character hasn't existed since then.
Yeah. But tell me, was that your favorite Batman too?
No.
Okay.
Maybe. Yeah. Why not? The man was inspiring.
Greetings.
I love this guest right now, Frank. He's maybe the best guest a podcast has ever had. Continue speaking, elderly wizard.
Welcome to Jurassic Park.
I actually did think you were Richard Attenborough when you walked in.
I said, why is the guy who invented Jurassic Park here? I saw the cane and everything. I was like, oh, my dear God.
It's not at hand. Consider yourself lucky.
So go on about...
I might go full Joker here in a second.
Yeah, that'll happen.
That kind of abuse. He called me a guest.
Oh, I'm sorry. That is true. I'm a guest. I apologize.
Yeah.
I have a feeling I'm going to be a dead body. Wow, graphic novel.
You just got kenned.
I did. Big time.
Where were we? Oh, yes. They started darkening the character in the 70s. Originally he was a killer. Then they realized, oh, kids are reading these comics back in the 1940s. And they began funning him up.
Right.
So that it was joy buzzers and squirt flowers and
you had told me
cushions.
Something about that. There is no real origin of the Joker. They were some that were made up at certain points.
They've woven these into the story, but by this point, all of them are, apocryphal. The origins depend on who's telling it and what era. So the origin finally given for the Joker, the first one, is in the early 50s, and that he was a criminal called the Red Hood, which they've revisited of late, who had been plaguing Gotham, and Batman chased him into a chemical factory. He fell into a vat of chemicals from the song of the same name and wound up white-faced, green-haired, pretty much the Nicholson origin.
And there's a classic one, comic book.
Killing Joke?
Killing Joke. Yeah, that's in the Killing Joke, right? How much can go wrong in one bad day? And that kind of the theme of that.
So that was an update. I think they've since updated it again. I have trouble following it. Mm-hmm. Also, I really started disliking the character when I became a creator because I thought he was entirely too psychotic in the comics. Not because I worry about the audience.
I can tell that.
Yeah.
There's zero worry about the audience from you.
No, not one.
The audience, who needs them?
Not one.
Ryan Augustine.
Not one flying, thing. No. I mean, more than anything, because it was cheap, I thought, and continue to think, that it was gory for the sake of gory.
Have you talked about this? I'm sorry to cut you off, but have you talked about this in comic book conventions and stuff like that at all? Because I feel like that some of the – like Joker is so beloved by so many comic book fans. For people to hear you say that, they have to turn on you, almost like a Joker type of character.
No.
They don't?
It's stranger. No, they will come at me. They will bring questions. How can you not love the Joker?
Right.
Like, well,
And you talk about it. You'd given me, and are you, if you don't want to share this, but you told me about another thing that might have tainted you a little bit.
It would have tipped it in at the end. But the main point is too gory, then it was too ubiquitous. Just they were constantly using the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
So anything can get overdone. I soured again, I guess, further when I met Mark Hamill at the DC offices when I was employed there as an editor, and he came up to visit, and he was a lovely guy, very enthusiastic. He's a big fan. So for him, being in the audience—
A big fan of comics in general.
Of pop culture, but comics particularly. And he was like a kid in a candy store. At some point, about mid-morning, he began doing his Batman animated Joker voice.
Which many people, and correct me if I'm wrong, consider to be the quintessential Joker.
At least, or a definitive.
Who don't remember Cesar Romero.
Doggone those kids. Hey, you're off my lawn.
Wait a second. You've never done a character before. Holmberg's here with me, and now it's characters. Okay.
Good one.
Well,
it
that was
like,
great.
Seemed like watching you guys, that's all that was going to happen. Yeah. I had to come with something.
Yeah, it was fantastic. It's exciting me.
Finally, someone did a good one.
That's right. And take your not Cesar Romero with you.
Richard Attenborough is funny.
So tell me, keep going.
Not on camera.
No, I'll leave it in.
Keep it on camera. No, I like it.
No, so Luke Skywalker comes in. I'm sorry.
He's very enthusiastic. He's just started doing the cartoon. He's loving everything he sees because the offices were, like your back wall here, chock full of everything.
Except the real stuff instead of my knockoffs.
Well, yeah, but I don't want to make you feel smaller than you are.
No, go for it. You've never held back before.
I didn't want to make you feel smaller than you already are.
You're welcome.
Don't step on the jokes.
Bonnie, I'm tiny in this little table.
Very good. He started doing the voice. I can't do the Batman animated Joker voice. Can you?
No.
Yeah, it's a giggly kind of, you know, mustache twirling.
I'm going to work on it, though. That'll be part of what I need to
do. Let me give you a little homework.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely, it's a good idea. I probably should have done it.
So he was doing that voice pretty much from then on.
It, the whole time he's visiting you.
Yeah. And, you know, after about an hour of being there, he fell into character.
Ugh.
Now he's a sweet guy.
Yeah, but that's annoying.
If every conversation, including loved you in Star Wars, ends with a, you know, thank you, my fellow man, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's
did you see him on The Flash? He was kind of like playing a Jokerish trickster.
He was, like he was a playing, trickster.
But wasn't it very Jokerish?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
a bunch of capering involved.
So I want to.
But that's before he did Joker, which is interesting.
Oh, really?
I'm pretty sure it times out that way, yeah.
All right. So one of the things that, because I can relate to that a little bit, is when you get somewhere and you get so excited and you're, so he's started doing the Joker voice at that point, right?
In
that,
every conversation.
No, but I mean, he's doing it for the animated series already, right?
Or by that point, he was already doing it.
All right, so he's doing it. But I think there's that weird thing when you go in and you just want to make people happy. Have you ever been in that, John, where you...
I don't think anybody expects that.
Nobody's ever been an expectation. Mistaken you for doing
desired,
it, especially here.
Yeah.
No, but you. I remember when I met Tom Hiddleston, and I just started. I started going into like little bits. It was even worse with Taron Egerton, who's in Kingsman and stuff like that. I was like, I was getting ready to go on stage, and I was getting into this. Like, I'm gonna pump myself up at Ace Comic Con in Phoenix, the first actual. I'd been to one or two Comic Cons before, but this is recently that I'd been to, and I was into joke mode, and he was being super nice. And after the fact, I went, oh my God, how brutal. That's everything I've ever, and when I met Tom Hiddleston, I went into a couple of voices and I was like, everything I've ever hated about a few weeks ago when we were struggling on a podcast and it was like, hey, what would Liam Neeson, I was doing that to myself. Like, what would Donald Trump think about
you're setting yourself up to
Loki.
Do voices to entertain.
So it was like, and then I left. I'm like, what frame of mind? So I just wonder if he was in that kind of a thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, he was sweet, and he was enjoying himself so much, I'm convinced that.
Yeah, kid in a candy store kind of thing.
He was trying to pay back, you know, be entertaining to what was so exciting for him.
Mm-hmm.
However, by hour three.
It's a little
tough. Didn't I see an axe around here somewhere?
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, that's tough. You don't want to be in that for three solid hours.
So everybody went to lunch with the guy. Well, many people went to lunch with the guy. I was late on a – I mean, I had to get something turned in, so I stayed to edit a script, blah, blah, blah. Somewhere around 4 o'clock, I hear the voice in the distance. and he sticks his head in the door, go, still doing the freaking voice. I'm doing everybody's answering machine. How about you?
Yeah.
And I just kind of looked up and I said, I'm good, thanks.
No.
Anyway, no problem. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
And that tainted you with the Joker forever.
That just nailed it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a petty.
Petty man.
petty man.
See, I think that would be a great episode of like Curb Your Enthusiasm or something where you meet somebody.
Right.
Who is, you know, it's Luke Skywalker. He's just a legend. And then by the end of the day, you're like, I just want him to go home. He won't leave. I don't want him to do this anymore. I'm tired of talking to him. You want him to break character and be a person.
Right. And that's, I get and yelled at for that.
He did do that.
Yeah.
See, but then he stopped.
There's when I would get after shows, people would get mad at me. Like I would go and sign stuff for people. It used to be when I originally started doing that, it was just to try and sell stuff.
Right.
You go out there, and if you're there, you can sell more CDs. That tells you how long ago it was.
Yeah.
And then I got to be like, you know, I just want to meet people and
be normal.
Yeah. But people would be like, how come you're not doing jokes here now? I'm like, because you didn't pay for this.
No. Yeah.
But it was really a moment of, wouldn't you rather see me as a human being? And they're like, no, we have no interest in that.
Nope.
And to me, I would rather see people be in their normal human form as opposed to their character. Like, that to me is interesting, which is why I like Joker.
But you want to see them being normal at like the grocery store when they're off stage and then they're just done from performing for you and you're still kind of getting that I paid $35, $50, whatever. maybe they still want a little bit of show when you're shaking hands with them, like it meant as much to you as it did.
But I was being nice and sweet, I think, as sweet as I could be. But it was like, hey, how come you're not doing the show anymore? Because this isn't the show.
Right.
And I'm a terrible party person. Going to a party, I'm
going through this phase in my life right now where it's hard for me to go anywhere. I just went to a wedding and it was like people have expectations for me to be like the radio guy. And sometimes I just like standing at a table quietly, and I feel like I'm being judged for it.
Like you're in commercials,
yeah.
And you're taking a break,
yeah. And you don't. My fear in life is Letterman used to say this all the time. I don't want people to think I'm dull, so I pull back because if I'm trying, like what Mark Hamill's doing, if I'm trying too hard to be what they expect, they're going to be disappointed. That's in my head, and I don't want to do that. So I don't go too far with it because I'm like, I also don't want to annoy them in thinking I need this attention for my ego. It's a weird little stretch. Well, you are in a much bigger situation than I'm in, but it's I understand it completely.
Well, Hamill's almost doing the Robin Williams thing. He's like, oh, look at this. You know, it's that, like, he's constantly on in that situation. But I don't fault. I think he's trying to make a good impression and just, you know, a super happy. And I don't think you're taking this to a.
No.
In a mean way at all, but it's just interesting. Well, for you.
Yeah.
For you, it's
for
it's
me,
always,
I'm very nice.
Yeah, for you, it's almost praise.
No, I mean, he was maybe 25.
Oh, really?
I mean, he was young.
Oh, no kidding?
Maybe a little later. I don't know how old he was when he was Luke Skywalker.
Everybody seems young, man.
He was like 20.
Jesus, he loves to point.
Those moments like,
loves to pause.
He anoints, like, think there's a hitman here, and if I do this move, you're getting shot. There's going to be a little red dot on your head after
Are you
that.
Sure you're not Italian? Oh, my
God. Yeah, pretty sure.
All right, so your favorite Joker is Cesar Romero.
I will say that jokingly.
Of all the Jokers.
I enjoyed the Jokers.
So. Yeah.
I mean, Ledger was a psychopath. He was almost, I would say, Psycho 101. That's not popular either.
And you didn't see the new one?
I did, yes.
Oh, you did
see it? He sent me to it.
Oh, is that?
He made me go.
It was your homework.
No, because I wanted to see it because he had told me before that he didn't really like the Joker. And I was like, here's a punishment for you because I don't
watch
like
this
you.
One.
No.
Yeah.
No, but it was like one of those moments like, I want to know from a creator standpoint, from a person who's been there, what your thought was. And it was very similar, I think, to what you said with the, I just wasn't, you weren't entertained as much. And
there was no entertainment.
I don't think I was supposed to be entertained.
Right. But that's the point. Yes, I agree. But it's.
But how is that the point of entertainment?
Because entertainment can.
I don't know. Did you ever see an Ibsen play? I mean.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. No. I've been told about Ibsen
You've avoided
plays.
About
I'm like,
them.
Why would I do that? Why would I want to watch this? Why do I want to be part of something so
complete? A lot of Nordic silences. You might enjoy it.
I do like that. At weddings, especially. Yeah. Just keep it quiet.
All right, guys. I want to get from the other guys right now your favorite Jokers and why.
Hi. I'm Adonis. So I believe my favorite Joker is Jack Nicholson. And mostly has to do with the time that the movie came out. And
I 100% agree with that.
Nostalgia.
It's like a song that comes out during your life.
Yep.
If that character that you like and are looking forward to seeing appears on the big screen or on television at that time, it identifies you with the time in your life, and it's all part of it.
Exactly. That he was – when I saw Jack Nicholson and then the animated series came out, I was just like – this is not the same, but I can deal with this one. But obviously, Jack Nicholson is the Joker to me. But then as growing up and going to school and talking to all my friends and everything like that about, oh, my God, did you see that the latest animated series episode? Man, the Joker was crazy. And then I started to gravitate more towards that. And then, of course, diving deeper into the comic world, my viewpoint on as to what the Joker is, why the Joker is, and why there are so many different variations of this character and how important to the Batman world he is.
Can I ask this, though, of a creator? How in the world is it that important that we get that detailed with their past when it's kind of assumed anyway? Is that necessary? I mean, origin stories are fun, but to a point of like, all right, let's just dissect it right down to what medicine he's on. It seems extreme when we already bought it.
I'm going to answer that by saying I don't think that the comics ever go into the kind of detail. I don't think anything got into
could.
The kind of detail that the Joker or that Joker
the
went
movie.
Into.
Yeah.
Is it important? I think it's important to the fans, or it has been often enough or for long enough that it's just simply a tradition by now.
I think people love origin story. That's why they could tell Spider-Man seven times.
But I like the origin story, but I mean the
detail of it got to the
but
point
that's what
where
this
like,
this was
geez.
Art this was more yeah. art this was a one person show
yeah.
On a theater stage as opposed to going to see a commercial play. Zach, favorite Batman or favorite Batman favorite Joker yeah. but favorite Batman first.
Answer them both.
Michael Keaton. My favorite Joker was Heath Ledger. I thought The Dark Knight itself was a movie about the Joker. It was less about Batman than it was about him, and I thought that he embodied him in a very unique way that I'd never seen before. And it really, it also seems to hold up for me. When you go back and look at Batman in 1989, it seems very campy now. And so it's hard to for me to buy, even though it came out at a pivotal time in my life, it's hard to, I just don't think it holds up as much anymore as Heath Ledger does.
If you go back and look at, like you were saying, a lot of those Batman movies, that's something we're going to have to do is go back and watch a couple of these classic Batmans along the way and some of the other movies as well. But you, like you said, things seem so campy and not real that maybe this Joker movie is just ahead of its time. Each incarnation of these superhero movies, especially the DC, the Christopher Nolan films, that was more real than anything you see from Marvel. And then this was the most real of anything. I think that's where a lot of our entertainment is actually, and I know you don't think of it as entertainment, but it seems like it's where it's evolving.
But in 89... remember, everybody's like, wow, this Joker's pretty dark.
Yes, but it's not dark anymore.
No, but
it's
nothing is after 30 years, especially like you said, it just became, let's do it again, let's do it again, let's do it again, and let's make it darker because people seem to like that, and we'll make it as dark as we can. Heath Ledger still had, it was as dark as it could get, and still had that, don't worry about yourself, buddy. I gotcha. And it was still that.
Definitely more
he's
fun.
Kind of fun.
I get that.
Yeah,
get
he
that.
Was a bad boy. Like you kind of wanted to hang with him just to see what was next. And you might want to be in his crew. You could see why people would gravitate to his charisma.
Might have been the nurse.
And almost, that was an amazing scene.
Yeah.
He killed a bunch of people in that scene, and you walked away going, oh my God.
Yeah.
You had that tongue-in-cheek moment of, I get it, this is an insane person. I don't need to, I just don't see why people would gravitate towards what happened with Joaquin Phoenix's character to the point where he gets a mob of people. He would have to have a mob of people constantly fed antidepressants. And then that whole movie becomes so ham-handed towards the mental health issue in our country that it becomes silly. So I don't want to see anymore.
Again, just felt like an art house film to me, amazing.
I don't think we're at the top or the start of anything new. DC had these films that are now not regarded very well, the more recent ones, Man of Steel and whatever Affleck Batman film.
Oh, I forgot.
I thought you were talking about the insurance.
Yeah.
Affleck.
When Gilbert Gottfried was
he
Batman.
He brought me there. That was good.
Affleck. I am the Dark Knight. I'm telling you right now, it's true.
You're the Duck Knight.
You will never figure out that I'm Bruce Wayne, even though I'm telling you. I'm hanging upside down, and I don't... Come on! Somebody help me.
This is nice.
It's Gilbert Gottfried, isn't it?
The Duck Knight was good, too.
I do like Duck Knight.
It was very good.
Thank you very much. The message got to DC, or to DC Entertainment.
By the way, Hollywood. Is Affleck, that's a duck? No, that's a duck, right? Yeah.
It's a duck.
You've got something there, by the way.
The Duck Knight?
The Duck Knight is...
Wasn't there...
I'm not sure that someone hasn't done that.
Okay. Then you've got nothing.
You know, and don't I know it.
Yeah.
I've worked enslaved. I'm not going to bring the old man back again. Although, not enough tranquilizers or whatever. No, I don't think we're seeing the beginning of anything. I think it was, Art House, I think, is probably right. Was never intended to be DC.
Doesn't have to be the Joker.
No, I'm saying, but the Joker is very dark, but I really think it's outside of continuity. One of the things I thought, because it's not a comic book movie.
Right.
It's based on a character. I'm not sure you could do the character study without using a character whose name has
right, you need that to draw people in, but...
They went brightening up their films.
Would people watch Joker if it wasn't the Joker? It was just about a sick guy.
I think people would, but it would not make the money.
Yeah.
It would be one of those movies that go wins an Academy Award and nobody watches the Academy Awards because nobody's seen the movie.
Yeah, people would be disturbed by it to the point where like, I don't need this. But because it's Joker, I think everybody gives that, oh, it's part of this universe I love so much. And it's almost being apologetic towards liking the Batman lifestyle or the world of Batman. So you throw the makeup on and you're like, here's
the sick. It's like an impression. Like you don't have to teach who the character is. You know, the difference between a character and impression.
Yeah.
A character, you have to give some background, get a point of view. If you're doing George W. Bush, everybody just knows where it's starting, that way you can't think of the words and whatever. Donnie. Danny, take your time.
Now, mine's definitely Jack Nicholson. I liked his quirkiness, like how he had the crazy toys, like the boxing glove that punched through the TV screen when Batman was on.
Yeah.
Could you imagine Joaquin Phoenix with that?
With those toys. Yeah, he would have to go invent the fun toys.
Where did
Huh?
No, I was just doing
I see. Yeah, oh, you're sure.
In the children's hospital when he drops the gun.
That was a great moment.
Oh, yeah. You pointed. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, except that it wasn't like a 8-foot-inch barrel on the end of the gun that he dropped like he had one.
No, but the moment in that movie in when Joaquin Phoenix drops the gun in the children's hospital and he shushes everybody.
Oh, I was laughing.
Shushes the kids.
Yeah, like, oh, yeah, you didn't see that.
Don't tell him it. Go ahead, Donnie. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, good. Like when he said, you wouldn't punch a man with glasses on. You know, I like that Joker and everything like that. But then I like Mark Hamill, of course, his voice acting. I love it. Even in the video games, he does a great job.
That's Corbin's favorite too, isn't it? Corbin loves.
He's of that age.
Joker. Yeah. I mean, again, it fits the age bracket and everything.
Yeah, fun fact.
So I love.
1960s, the Batman Superman hour. I don't know if you remember these things, 1970s.
Yes, was that a Hanna-Barbera?
It was
like an offshoot of Super Friends. It was like, wasn't it?
It's before Super Friends.
Okay.
Yeah. The Joker was voiced by Larry Storch. You know who Larry Storch is?
I do not.
It was from F-Troop.
F-Troop.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember on Married with Children.
He was the squattier, dark one, dark-haired fella.
Right,
yeah.
I'm just mentioning. No one ever cites him as their favorite Joker, and I think
there's an
inequity there that I think.
Was he a good Joker? I don't
have no clue. Yeah, I don't know.
All right. Well, we're going to get into the this is going to be a little bit clunkier than normal, because we're going to get into where the guys are going to teach me. Everybody's going to get 5 minutes to give me something that they're excited about in the nerd world. If you interest Toledo, if Toledo believes you to be fantastic, you're going to get more time. If
you got sound effects. Got a thing.
What? Did you find that here, or is that something you brought?
No, I found it. Okay. You had it.
You've got that laying around. You are the Joker. You're the Nicholson Joker.
Wait till you get a load of me.
Why don't we bring Zach in? Zach, what was it you're going to...
You want me to...
Yeah. Or just stay there. Just doesn't matter.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
All right, guys, you ready for this?
Yep.
If you were alive and not under a rock in the summer of 2016, you know about Pokemon Go.
Pokemon.
A mobile game that rocked the world. For a brief, beautiful week or two in July, the world united to hunt down digital creatures and enslave them in Pokeballs. Until an inevitable alien invasion unites the planet, these few weeks will likely go down as the closest we ever came to world peace. At launch, the game was a straight-up scavenger hunt, bringing in the majority of the 151 Pokemon from the games that were first released in 1996 in Japan on the old spinach green Game Boy, plus the ability to battle other Pokemon in order to take over a digital gym. But the massive success wasn't simply about the nostalgia. It was also driven by augmented reality, which, unlike virtual reality, puts people in a totally immersive digital environment. Augmented reality just overlays some digital things in the real world. And so, I mean, who doesn't dream of walking down the street and encountering a Pikachu? Obviously, a lot of people dreamed of it, and that's why it was such a success. Nintendo's stock, within a week, hit a six-year high, jumping from $17 a share to about $33 a share.
And I bought at 31.
You bought at 31?
Yeah. Did you really?
Yeah.
And then, of course, you were one of the people who were upset when people realized that they did not own 100% of Pokemon and only owned a percentage, and then the stock took a hit.
But how does that happen where people, that's just, it gets out there? and people think there's...
Yeah, so this was a really strange case of the market being really inefficient. Normally, market forces are a lot more efficient than that, and people who are buying stock actually know what they're buying, or at least the robots do.
Well, people might not even have known what this was, right? Because there hadn't been anything like it, this type of interactive...
Yeah, absolutely. And so, obviously, big success for Nintendo and the Pokemon Company, which is what actually owns Pokemon, and Nintendo owns a portion of it. But there were also some interesting other effects. An analysis estimated that the game also may have contributed to 150,000 car accidents, more than 250 deaths, and somewhere between $2 and $7 billion in economic loss in the first few months after launch, which I think is a small price to pay for world peace. But.
Sorry, I stepped on that. What is the economic loss coming from?
So an analysis was done in a single county in the United States and then extrapolated based on the population. But the economic loss presumably comes from the car accidents as well as people who were playing it at work.
Yeah, and not downtime. Oh, okay. Working. So it's slowing down.
They're not working.
Okay.
Right.
They're not working.
When they should be.
Yeah. I mean, I still do it. Not work when
but,
it should be.
Aren't people do... Okay. I'm just going to critically think on this for a second. Aren't people doing something else other than just Pokemon? Maybe Candy Crush? How can you say... And I'm not getting mad at you, although I sound like it. But
how dare you bring this study to here?
Bring
you think
information.
I am so sorry
about such a sweet character.
Oh, you've been buzzed.
I got buzzed out.
I don't know what that buzz was.
That might have been a happy buzz.
He's got points. He's keeping going.
Okay,
I won.
Yeah. Oh, he's allowed.
I agree with you on this, Toledo.
Yeah, so thank you both for that, I guess. I think that...
For a guy who doesn't care. Zach's the kind of guy who could just walk out and go, whatever.
Whatever.
But I mean, I think there's something to be said for, maybe you'd be doing Facebook at work instead, but I think one of the major aspects of it is that you actually have to go outside and play. So you can't be sitting by your desk checking Facebook while you're at the office. You actually have to leave your office and go play Pokemon.
There's no multitasking.
Yes, it's a little bit harder to multitask on it.
Of course, if you're at the office, you're not going to get run over by a car either.
Yes, which, keeps you safe, I guess.
So, unless somebody outside is playing in their car and drives into the office.
Holy crap.
Yeah, that's where that was in his stats.
Yeah.
That was in there.
There was a lot in there.
Highly specific stats.
Yeah, I don't remember them all.
Yeah. For a lot of people, it ended as quickly as it came. They went back to Candy Crush or Pokemon or Facebook or whatever they were doing, or just living their lives. So by August of 2016, just a month after it launched, searches for Pokemon Go on Google nearly flatlined. But as I always say, the best way to get to 1 million users is to start with 1 billion.
good one.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Oh, Scott Long could learn.
Man, that's a good one.
He's bought another
minute.
Going.
Yeah, very good.
Past the checkpoint, I guess. So Pokemon Go, though, has still been going strong. It's just with a much smaller and more fervent fan base. So Niantic, the company that created the game itself, has been adding new features regularly. They introduced in-game events that are organized around temples like Halloween, where you can earn bonuses within the game. They put in tasks to kind of get people more addicted to play every day in order to hit their tasks. They added raids, which actually still not only force you to go outside, but actually interact with people, because you have to show up at a certain location, battle a powerful Pokemon with multiple people because they're too hard to beat yourself, and then capture it and enslave it like the other ones. And there's also trading that enables you to trade Pokemon with friends. You can battle with the friends as well. And a particularly interesting thing is something called shiny Pokemon, which are only special because they come in a different color than regular Pokemon. They're rare, and trainers, are constantly on the lookout for them. Further augmenting the reality is that they've added weather effects. So if it's raining outside, it's also raining in the game. And based on that, certain water-type Pokemon would show up more often. And it even has grown beyond just that typical augmented reality world. You could buy an accessory, a watch-type device that connects to your phone that allows you to play while you're not actually, while your phone's not on. It just automatically catches them for you. And the Nintendo Switch, which is Nintendo's newest video game, interacts with it as well. Or there's a new game on the Nintendo Switch called Pokemon Let's Go. There's two versions, one with Eevee, a character, and Pikachu, and it's based on those original games from the Game Boy. And it actually allows interaction between Pokemon Go on your phone and that console game as well. But, I mean, that alone doesn't necessarily mean anything. Probably the most telling indicator of the game's continuous success is the actual in-person events called Pokemon Go Fest and Safari Zone, which are you actually go to a location. There's an event taking place. It's different from a raid because just this year, in 2019, 60,000 people attended the Pokemon Go Fest in Chicago, including not just Chicagoites, people from all over the country.
Chicagoites?
Chicagoans? Is it Chicagoans?
Yeah.
Chicaganians?
Chicagokers. I like that one.
Yeah. So
fibs.
These fibs. So these people, they flew to Chicago, not really caring about seeing the Sears Tower, Lake Michigan, beaches, or riverside architecture, because why look at that when you can stare at your phone and catch digital creatures to store in your digital Pokedex?
69,000 Pokemon players in one spot, and I'm guessing maybe zero dates.
Isn't that amazing?
I don't
people
know.
With all that commonality.
You know what? There are a lot of women who play that.
I know, but not one of them looked up from their phone. It's 69,000 people with one thing in common that didn't talk to each other the entire time.
And there is another thing. A lot of them look like the Pokemon.
That's a good point. Oh, that's a good point. Oh.
Listen, I look like one too. Hey, what are you doing over there? From a guy who chose that shirt.
This is a classic.
And he pointed to himself. This.
Not me.
This
is right here.
This is a classic.
Thing.
It's a classic.
You're going to love the way you look.
Listen, do you have more? Because I want to stop you for a second. Because
please.
I don't know if everybody, because I didn't set this up properly like I normally don't. I'm going to get quizzed at the end.
Oh, geez, I didn't know that. I thought it was just a eulogy for Pokemon.
This is a classic.
No notes either. I'm impressed.
Yeah, well, no, I want to lose. I don't want to lose. I just know I'm going to be
inevitable.
Terrible. Yes. But I want to be honest with you. The way you started out, and I feel terrible almost grading this because I don't want to sound like that's what it is. But
this
is
a test.
No, but the way you started out, I was actually a little worried at the beginning. And then it became incredible. So I don't know why I'm trying.
It's the story of my life.
What do you do?
That's what my wife tells me.
I started off horrible.
The best is yet to come. What?
Do you think? What your job is? What in the real world?
I'm a product manager at American Express.
So you give a lot of speeches.
I speak in front of people pretty often. Yeah.
Okay. Because that. I mean that just. Your knowledge and the way you actually sometimes you'll ask somebody a question that's like at the beginning it sounded like a little Wikipedia-ish to me, and then as you got going I was like, no, he knows all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then we had questions and then you had details based on the question. I was like, well,
being
okay.
Authoritative.
I'm very incredibly smart.
Exhausted.
And I hide it at first.
You've been hiding it well.
Yeah,
for a while,
for months.
No. Under that glorious mop of hair.
But okay,
it will get better though.
Toledo, hair? Did I eat up the rest of his time so he can't?
Yeah,
so he can't
I think he's done now.
So now we decide whether we're going to invest in what he's talking about. What happens now?
I'm all in.
Oh, okay.
I'm all in. I got to be honest with you.
You want to hear the revenue from 2018?
Yes.
Before you invest,
this will be on the test.
$800 million.
$800 million.
It won't be on.
That's going to be a question.
But you know, if you want to talk about investing in my product,
oh.
Yeah.
Amex guy.
No, I mean that 4.5%.
Yeah, he's breaking me down.
No. All right. So I'm worried about that because there were a lot of things in your
I think you're going to be all right with that.
But
the information overload, the overload that's
overlord
coming.
Overlord. Right.
The overloading of information is coming your direction.
All right.
It'll be funnier if he screws it.
I think so, too.
Oh, yeah. No, that's the part of the fun is me not getting it. But really good.
I watched like as he turned a page. He's like 8 minutes into it, and he turned once. Like, you must be on single spacing. Like, that is the most succinct amount of information I've ever seen, and then one page turned. I'm like, oh, my God.
I'm also really sneaky with my page turning.
Are you? Okay. It was very stealth
It's like 18 font double spaced.
It's amazing.
You typed that out?
I typed it out.
Oh, he's got like a whole book.
Because I couldn't read my own handwriting.
Yeah, no. He turned that first page. I'm like, oh, we're going to be here all night.
No.
He's knocking it out.
No, no. Toledo knows what he's supposed to do.
Well, he's doing a terrible job. This is dragging on.
Hey, can you buzz Holmberg?
Yeah, please.
I don't have the buzz. I just have the bell.
Make an audible.
Did anybody else have a topic?
I mean, I had a little bit, but it's not like that at all.
Nobody wants to follow
that? Not like that at all.
All right, well,
we just had a TED talk about Pokemon and the other guys are quitting.
Yeah, no, he's going to play Pokemon.
He definitely.
No, that's the standard. I'm going to tell you right now, you've just set a standard of.
Thank you.
Well done.
You're not fit to carry his laptop.
And Toledo left. Toledo gave up. He's like, I've learned enough today.
He's getting a new type of buzzer.
He's ashamed that he's
you got another
sound
effect. Oh, so you have different. So you're as prepared as me and Adonis. What?
Best
Where does he get these wonderful toys?
Yeah.
And how can he put them back?
What will that sound indicate?
So no one else is going to play? You guys drove all the way down here to just get faced?
No, we've got Brian.
Sorry, Brian.
Donnie.
I thought you were a judge.
I don't think we're judges.
Nothing?
I don't know.
I'll definitely do next week. I'm going to do a pinball.
All right. Yeah. Well, yeah, great. Pick something you really like. That's a question I have for you. What made you choose Pokemon?
Because I'm one of those people who still plays it.
You do.
But I did not fly to Chicago just to play it.
Yeah, and that's where the cutoff is for you.
That was it.
Adonis,
virtually played there.
Yeah,
virtually.
Virtually.
But Adonis and Danny drove all the way down here to just get smashed by a guy and then say, yeah, he smashed us. I'm not doing a thing.
What do you mean he got smashed?
I mean, they're not even going to play along. Like, Adonis, you had to have something in mind.
Mine was a lot more vague than that.
I guess I get the fun.
I would rather wait. That's just not right. No. That's just what this
I got
is.
Usual. Okay.
This is what.
Now you guys know what to do.
See, I like this. I feel like it's a competition. I don't think it was supposed to be.
No, there were little pieces. There's lots of different types of competition. I was expecting to be able to rip into Zach more, and I got schooled. So it was incredible.
And you haven't even been asked the questions yet.
Yeah. No, I don't. Oh. Even,
the quiz.
No, because I'm going to get destroyed. But I don't. That's why Holmberg's still here.
Wow. I'm fascinated.
No, you're
by
gonna.
This.
That was fantastic, and I
Blood
can't wait to hear what you do for the other show this week.
I can't wait to hear the other guys try to do that.
No, that's gonna be like I'm
intimidated.
Yeah,
you're not. Intimidated.
I think you're all right.
No,
all right. So we are gonna move on to Brian, who
Brian wrote a whole graphic novel about this. It's a cold, rainy night in Mesa. Yeah. Sorry, that's not a bad start, right? No
credibility.
Oh, okay.
It's never rained.
That's true.
Did you want me to go to this?
No, I just want you to soak in a little more Zach. I'm in awe.
I got too much Zach on me.
Really
already.
Good.
That's
yeah.
enough.
Like that's what this is supposed to be, and I'm almost going to tear up, but I don't care that much. But
he gave a lot of effort.
Well, I know.
No, really good.
I know that that you enjoy the Flash TV show.
Yes.
Enough that you ripped it off for your header on the show.
All the CWs.
But that's, you know. What is that? That's a compliment to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the most sincere form of flattery?
Flattery.
Holy cow. Two in a row is tough. The most sincere form of flattery. Joe Flaherty. Flaherty. Flaherty.
Count Floyd.
Oh, Count Floyd was the best.
It's SCTV.
Yeah. We should catch him.
Crazy Legs.
I want to hear more about Pokemon.
Yeah, I do. I didn't want to stop
That's it. I'm in the shadow of these tiny little figures. And by this, I mean the players. No.
Lost.
Nope.
Where's that buzzer?
Too much sympathy for these guys. All right, so Flash, a book that I wrote, that I edited, that I read as a kid, sort of this dream through line, goes all the way back to the 1940s. The character has existed at least in three generations. And then there's, as always in comics, lots of variants and you know, brief intervals where something else is tried. But it's basically three guys. 1940s Flash, Jay Garrick.
Okay.
Whose origin, by the way, is that he, as a science student in college, accidentally knocked over a beaker of something called hard water, which, I don't know, you call a Kelgon man, generally, to soften your water. But I think what they meant was heavy water, which is a nuclear containment. So he inhaled these fumes. He became super fast, as you do.
Try it at home, kids.
And there he is. There he is in his red and blue with his Mercury helmet on his head.
Is a Mercury helmet, is that a specific name of what that helmet is? Is that the Mercury being the wings? Okay.
Mercury being the FPD guy.
Okay, the goddess. Is the god of speed? Is that what Mercury
God of speed.
Flower delivery.
And flower delivery. Flower. Look, we're getting a whole bunch there.
There you go.
That no one listening to this can see.
That's all right.
So that's that character there, Jay Garrick.
Mm-hmm.
He, the comic itself ran from 1940, number one, to about 1953. When, like a lot of other superhero comics, it tanked.
Oh.
Went out of business. Driven out of, by lack of interest, by people moving on to television, probably, amongst other things. A few years later, the second generation, and this will get confusing. The second generation is Barry Allen.
Okay.
1956. And he runs all the way, runs all the way to like early 1980s. Maybe all the way to 86.
56 to about 30 years?
About 30 years.
Okay.
When he turned, there he is.
Is he the most famous Flash?
Probably.
Barry Allen?
Yeah. Longest run.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Can't run away from that.
No.
Stupidity. There he is being chased again, typically, by a giant missile with a skull and crossbones.
That's.
I think that's what that is.
Very Ace and Gary.
Yeah. But anyway, Barry Allen. Police Thanks, scientist.
Okay.
We would now understand that as they portray him on the television show and in the comics. He's a CSI.
Okay.
But back then he was doing pretty much everything.
His origin story is similar to like he drinks the heavy water? Or where does he come from?
No, his origin is that he was working late in the lab one night.
And it becomes a Halloween
Do
song.
It.
I didn't drop into Boris Karloff.
He is the Flash.
He is the monster Flash.
He ran so fast.
He drank very heavy water. I'm working at the lab late one night.
I'm working here.
Sorry.
Jesus. Barry Allen. So he was probably the most famous. He... Mm-hmm. Was certainly the Flash I grew up with. Almost everybody through the 80s grew up with that particular
yes.
Flash. Featured in everything from the cartoons to Super Friends to the live-action Battle of the Superheroes or whatever. Anybody seen those?
No.
Well, Google. Anyway, they're horrible. But so horrible, they're good. But Barry Allen was, as I say, he married eventually Iris, his, again, as in the TV show.
Oh, they're holding pretty true to form to the comic.
To those characters, uh-huh. To most of the other characters. Barry Allen Flash died in 1985, I think it was, in this gigantic crossover called Crisis on Infinite Earths,
uh-huh.
Where the multiverse collapsed.
And that's where the superheroes are from different universes are running into each other?
And yeah, like that. Or simply ceasing to exist, okay. Wiping each other out of existence. Barry Allen Flash dies, saving the entire multiverse. As heroic as possible. You know, in a comic book context, he was a hero. He was essentially sainted on that day. So not bringing him back sort of became a sacred calling. And I come in right about there and, you know, he was our only canonized saint. We can't cheapen that.
Oh, so this is you coming in where you were working.
Where I came in as a work, as a
okay.
work.
As a editor. Writer, editor. Okay.
And
editor.
So almost Christ-like.
He
dies
was,
for
he,
all the other
no,
stuff.
Oh, I thought
everything.
You were saying Brian was Christ-like.
No, I know he's older than Christ.
If that was true, thank you very much. I'll take my shoes off. I'll walk across the pool. You'll be impressed.
Yeah. See, I can see it.
Yeah. Why do we keep interrupting me?
Just to see if you
at
can get back
point,
on track.
At which point, we cut back to the middle of Barry Allen's run to meet his young protege, Wally West. who was at one point, like most sidekicks, about 15.
Now, does Wally West have any relation to?
He is Iris.
Oh, Iris West.
Nephew.
Oh, nephew. Okay.
So, you know, once Barry married her, I guess he was an uncle.
Are either of these characters tied into Jay Garrick at all, family-wise?
Not family-wise, but he met Jay Garrick, having thought of him as long gone.
Okay.
So in like the early 60s, the two Flashes met, by which point they were living on two different worlds, and my head starts to hurt if I get into that too much. Although after the crisis, all the worlds were smushed back together. So Wally West grows up. His mentor, his uncle, his hero has just passed away. And they turn to him and they say, you're a grown-up now. It's your job to be the Flash. And that's where basically I took the character over and we just grew him up by making him that hero.
And did he have a similar look to the...
His uniform was similar.
Okay.
Because initially he was wearing just Barry's.
So at that point, could they just make a Flash? Like they could give him what it took to be Flash?
Or he had the power.
He had it already. Just
as a sidekick, he had the power.
Okay.
At different moments in time, they had the same origin. Lightning struck chemicals. Okay. But well after
Wait a second.
Barry,
lightning doesn't strike twice except for superhero origins? Is that kind of... I get it, you know.
I could explain it to you, but you would have to kill me.
Right.
You would hate the loss of time. But there are some ways intentional.
Doc Brown.
I'll accept that.
You mean to tell me you built a speedster out of lightning and some chemicals?
Molly,
Doc, this is heavy.
We have to bring back the Flash.
All right. And that's the rest of the
story. So Wally West grows up, becomes a Flash. He ran, if you will, for about 20 years.
So the Flash.
And then they found a way to bring Barry Allen back.
Oh, how did they bring him back?
Lightning.
Time travel, I think.
Time travel.
Oh, jeez.
Can the Flash travel in time in the comics? Can
yes.
he run so fast that he can?
He can run so fast that he travels in time. That's how he did the...
Crisis?
Save
the crisis.
Save the world during crisis by moving so fast that he traveled through all the different eras and all the different worlds.
Oh, wow. Well, that's good. All right. We got
that's
a lot
good
of information.
One.
That it?
I can give you a little bit more if you want.
Yeah.
Somewhere along the line, while trying to keep Wally going, the writer and I, Mark Waid, and I hit upon the idea that we should give the former Kid Flash his own Kid Flash, except that we couldn't call him Kid Flash.
Scrappy Doo.
We named him Impulse.
Ah.
Not a bad.
That's pretty good.
No, that's cool.
And then
why Impulse? Did you go through other things?
We didn't want to call him Kid Flash. We didn't want to be digging up the past or being...
Right, but you've got Impulse. You could
want to give him his own identity.
Twitch. I mean, I know, I get that, but I mean,
we went through a couple, and I can't remember any of them.
All right.
But Impulse suddenly.
What's the Impulse?
It leaped off.
It was an Impulse. It was a real thing.
The forehead. It was on an Impulse we named, yes.
Yeah.
And he ran for a long while, and he's to this day still, you guys can back me on this. Is Impulse still the heir? I mean, he's a young kid, so is he still the heir to be Flash?
This is the first time I've ever heard of Impulse.
Yeah. Okay, remind me to have you bite me.
I've always known him as Kid Flash. I didn't know Impulse was because I know I know that part about Wally West taking over Barry Allen, but I just
like most everything wonderful that we did, they fixed. Oh. They brought Barry Allen back. They changed Impulse's name to Kid Flash.
Oh.
But he is the heir apparent. To the degree that matters. Of course, all speedsters, not just the Flashes, but all speedsters in the DCU are powered by the Speed Force, which I invented.
You invented the Speed Force?
I did.
Mark shitting Waid me.
And I,
oh, my God,
Mark
Frank, settle
Waid
down.
I came up with the concept and named it.
The Speed Force.
I'm going to tell you right now why that excited me so much, because I'm going to text Juliet and tell her that you... invented the Speed Force. Okay, that's
it's a teeny thing.
Not to
I'm saying, I'm not trying to make it up to be a bigger thing.
No, I think
I'm
pretty
proud of it because it
No,
was once a reason to hate us.
I don't know what it is, and I'm impressed.
It's what makes a speedster
a cosmic force.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can go. You can go into the Speed Force.
You can,
and it's all
the Speed Academy.
Right. The booking
with
there,
Monsignor Larval Jones.
Game over.
The bookings are really, you got to.
Yeah, oh yeah, I'm sure.
Years.
Waiting list.
Years
forever.
Of, yeah.
Like Packer normal. Season tickets.
I'm glad. That's pretty cool. I didn't realize that.
Well, the weirdest thing is we wished we had done something more with it because we got down to the wire. We wanted to come up with a much greater name than the Speed Force.
Yeah.
This is before Jedis and stuff and that force?
No.
No, okay.
This would be in the early 90s.
Okay. Oh, okay.
When you were still in short pants. Uh-huh. Well, never mind.
Whoops.
Still in
never
him.
Mind.
Still in him.
We're better than him being out of him, let's be honest.
Nah, you haven't seen that.
No, don't want to.
Talk about the Speed Force.
So it went into history as the Speed Force. People hated us for it. Oh, it's such a stupid idea. Well, yeah, sure. That's what we sell here.
Yeah. You're buying them.
And I wish we had named it something cooler, like Impulse or something.
Yeah.
That had already been taken.
But it says what it says.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
But it's a big deal on the TV show now, for which we get Bupkis.
No kidding.
Bupkis squared.
Yeah.
Man.
So, but that's okay. I mean, we were employees.
Yeah.
You know, the guy who created the crescent wrench for Sears, or the socket wrench for Sears, cashes no royalty checks whatsoever.
All right.
Well, I get depressing.
Any wrap-up?
I was the liaison to the original Flash TV show. With John Wesley Shipp.
Oh, wait, you were what?
I was the DC's liaison.
I didn't realize that. Had to
approve all the scripts.
Oh, wow.
Had to go out for shoot, you know, for filming.
Yeah.
Out in Hollywood.
Oh, I didn't realize that either.
There you go.
Yeah. Also, I watched that show. That's another show I watch.
And that's where Mark Hamill played the trickster.
Oh, but he came back and played it recently as well.
Right, and
I wasn't putting that together because when you'd said that earlier, okay, that's making.
I think it was a nod to the original. I don't think they were drawing a line between the two.
Okay.
John Wesley Shipp.
Yeah, he shows up in this Flash as well.
Shows up playing Jay Garrick.
Jay Garrick.
Also, Flash's dad.
All right, you're gonna go 0-40 on these questions.
Yeah. Okay, questions. Let's go. Start with Zach. Give me five.
For the quiz?
Five you're going to give me. Then Augustine will give me five. Just like a high five.
High five?
Yeah.
Hey. Five? Air five. All right, ready?
Well, we'll have more. I'm just going five, 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 five.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. To break them up so they're not all.
Ready for this?
Yeah. And it's Frank and John.
Oh, no.
It's team up.
Yeah. Superhero team up.
All right, ready?
Yeah.
How many original Pokemon were there?
Oh, crap. Oh,
original?
How early did you say that in your dissertation?
That was, paragraph one or two. It was pretty early on.
Wow. Honest to God, I have zero.
Take a stab.
Eight.
83.
All right. 83 was closer. 151.
Ah. I don't remember that number. Very good.
At all.
No, I don't. I don't.
All right. You ready for next?
Yeah. I have to learn how to do this, too. I've got to get better.
This is a training experience.
Yeah.
What is the difference between virtual reality and augmented reality?
You got this?
You know it.
No, I don't.
You don't?
Yeah.
Virtual reality is in a singular space where augmented is taking things that are computer generated into the real world.
Yeah, I would say that's close enough. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, augment is putting something into the world.
Boom.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah. Yep.
Virtual reality is like you're looking through something.
Like immersive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. There's the word I was looking for.
Yeah, augmented is adding to the world.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
I could have figured that out, but I'm glad you're here.
It
was very good.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys could make that happen.
Yeah.
I feel good about it. which feature was not mentioned, and I'm going to give you multiple choice here. A, weather effects. B, raids. C, create your own Pokemon, or D, trading?
C. Create your own Pokemon was not.
Boom.
I got that one. Don't say that one.
I'm sorry.
Some credit.
I get so excited about it.
I know.
I play Jeopardy at home all the time.
I feel like you are going to be in Chicago soon.
Yeah. Just banging into the lake.
Cashing in on that investment. In,
and that be the next company? Question? Where was the Pokey?
69,000, Alex.
That is one of my later questions. But when was Pokemon Go released?
Oh, you got that?
I know the years. You're talking about the year?
Give me the year or the month. I'll be easy.
I can take a shot at the month, but I know the year was 2016.
2016?
Bingo. Month?
May.
I'll say April or May.
July. Close.
Ah, July.
Arg.
It was one of those 12. God, I don't listen at all. Is that four or five questions so far?
That's four. Okay. Number five is, which game system was the first Pokemon game on?
Switch?
Nope.
Oh. It was that, you called it the cabbage-colored Nintendo Game Boy.
That's right.
Oh, I was thinking the...
No,
I
don't worry.
I was thinking Pokemon Go, not Pokemon. All right,
sorry about that. Nope. You're not making Final Jeopardy like this, buddy.
Nope. Yeah,
John right. wins.
No, I didn't listen to the full
round
question.
Round one.
Yeah. Not even supposed to be here.
I got to listen to the whole question.
Or the whole pitch.
Yeah.
Oh, is it my turn?
Yeah.
All right, what was the secret identity of the first Flash?
Jay Garrick. That's one of your easy ones.
And what gave him his power?
Heavy water.
Also hard water.
Hard water. We've also accepted hard water.
The Calgon man.
Yes.
Lime away. Lime away.
No, he said Calgon.
But if you get lime away, you can get rid of the Flash completely.
That's his kryptonite.
The cabbage-colored lime.
The cabbage-colored lime away.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm doing well on this. So far.
Well, here's another softball for you. What empowers all speedsters?
The Speed Force. I know the guy who created it.
Yeah, I met him a little earlier.
Met him on my left.
Also made Jurassic Park. He's got a mosquito in his cane.
First of all, did not make it. Starred in it.
Oh, that's true. Starred in it. That's true. But, I mean, your character technically built it.
Yeah.
Welcome to Jurassic Park.
It's Morgan Fairchild again, isn't it?
It's good. That's a very good one.
Thank you. What was Barry Allen's job?
He was a early form CSI.
That's a very specific term.
Crime investigator? Crime detective?
Police scientist.
Police scientist.
Two words.
Sorry.
Yeah, I would consider that correct.
How many is that? Is that three?
I think it was four.
Four.
That was five.
Or five. It was one of those.
Might have been nine.
Yeah, somewhere in between one and five. Or all of the above.
All right, then Barry and Wally both share the same origin, though at different times.
Lightning striking chemicals.
Yes.
Nice, Frank.
He went at more my speed.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a teacher. You're like, I can take these notes.
Weirdly appropriate.
Yeah,
Flash.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Zach.
You know, the Flash fought a villain called the Turtle.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, he was the slowest man on Earth.
This is real.
True story.
And it's like throwing knuckleballs to the Flash.
Yeah, because he
can't do anything slow. With it. Yeah.
No. In the very first appearance of
really?
Yeah. Maybe he's called the Turtle Man. I don't know.
Turtle Man. He's played by Dana Carvey.
Yeah, it was
Turtle.
All right, Zach. Five more.
All right.
Machine gun him.
Where was the event that had
Chicago?
Chicago.
Boom.
what
else can you do in Chicago instead of Pokemon Go?
According to him,
sure. This is the softball
Sears
one.
Tower.
The one that you mentioned.
Frank's flummoxed. He doesn't know what to do in Chicago.
Do you want me to answer that?
Yeah.
Frank is from Chicago.
You do the Willis Tower, the architectural tour.
People really call it the Willis Tower.
If they want to, you know.
Properly, win this game.
Probably go to the Uber and have them take you the right
spot. Fair.
Yeah, so the architectural tour, I believe you said something about the museums and Sears Tower.
Boom. I mean, I said the beaches, the Lake Michigan beaches. Yeah, museums are cool too. Shedd's Aquarium, maybe.
Great spot.
What the is Shedd Niantic?
Aquarium. What's what?
What is Niantic?
A mispronunciation of Atlantic.
Winner.
It's a nasal spray.
That's what I want.
It's actually the name of the company that developed Pokemon Go.
They were the ones who owned the other. No?
No, it's actually a third party that's owned by Google, or was at the time.
Everything owned by Google.
Yeah. And so they partnered up with Nintendo and the Pokemon company to make the game. What device is used to catch the Pokemon?
You throw a
What is that called?
Pokeball.
Pokeball.
That's right.
Nailed it.
I was going to say my phone.
Who gave me that? I was going to say coconut.
Yeah.
Coconut.
We would have also accepted coconut.
That's the South Pacific
Pokemon. I got to get better at this.
All right, final Jeopardy question. About how many car accidents were caused by Pokemon Go in that? Yep. But really 150. Close, though.
It was
the estimate, 150. But, you know, maybe 200. Within
I thought you said two. Okay.
Standard deviation.
You thought I was right when I said 250.
I thought you said,
because it was 250 deaths.
Yeah, 250 deaths and 150 car wrecks.
That's right.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that was like a trick question on the SATs. Very good.
That was it. That's what I was going for.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So I think you guys passed. Yeah. 1600 on the SAT.
Yeah. Without John, I'm famous.
No. I've stumbled. You did very well.
All right.
Who's played both Barry Allen and Jay Garrick on television?
John Wesley Shipp.
Thank you.
Nice.
Shipp.
I was trying to combine F and P because I couldn't remember how, which it was. Shipp.
We would have also accepted John Wesley Shipp.
Okay.
Let's not fall to that. What's the name of the youngest and the heir to the Flash?
Kid Flash or Impulse or his actual name? West.
I would take both, his superhero name and his real name.
So it would be Impulse.
Impulse.
And the real name is, it's West, right?
No.
I got that wrong? That's why I stopped at the first part.
Barry's grandchild.
Oh, Barry. I don't remember.
Bart Allen.
I don't remember you saying that. Right, okay.
I don't think you brought that up.
Oh, I did.
I don't remember. Go to the tape. I was going to say Edward. That's how close I was.
We would have... What animated TV show from the 1970s is famous for having all of the superheroes in one place?
The Super Friends?
That's right.
Oh, I thought you were going to ask me about the
Batman-Superman Hour.
Yeah, Batman-Superman Hour.
That would have also been fine. What is the Flash's, Barry Allen or otherwise, the Flash's sort of second title? He is referred to as?
The Scarlet Speedster.
That works.
The Fastest Man on Earth.
That's what I'm looking for, the Fastest Man on Earth.
Yeah.
They say it every week on the show.
And every week there's somebody faster than him. My name is Barry Allen.
Well, the show.
And I'm the fastest man on Earth, except this episode where somebody outruns me.
I think that was the funniest part of the recent. Have you seen the recent season debut?
No, my daughter just got mad at it, she said. And then she kept watching.
No big spoiler involved.
All right, let's hold
on. But the bottom line is they're famous for having had every previous season had a bad speedster.
The big bad. Zoom or...
So there's an evil speedster at the opening of the show who is defeated about a minute and a half later. So it's
kind of like Thanos in Endgame.
Gone.
Just gone. All right, that's it for this week. I think I got, 95% on the quiz. Fantastic. Beating John Holmberg, who only got about 22%.
Wasn't trying.
For not trying. That was not bad.
It wasn't bad for a guy who isn't supposed to be answering it.
Just didn't care.
You listen to
the guy in the audience shouting out answers.
And are we comfortable with 95%?
Oh, yeah. I thought it was higher, actually.
Yeah. I mean, you got to be realistic here.
Well, he's got to suck up, apparently.
We're grading on a curve.
I round down.
All right. Well, good for you.
All right. Hopefully Corbin will show up next time. He'll have some news stories and then quiz me on those. Until next time, keep your treats on the ground and keep reaching for the cars. Unless you're playing Pokemon Go, because that could cause another accident. And if it causes 100, Frank will be correct.